Welcome to the Zen-ish Mommy Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Gershman, and while I may never reach enlightenment, you will find me here cussing and laughing along the way. This podcast is a place for all women to connect, educate themselves, and slow down, because you deserve a moment to pause and press play.
Get it together, mamas. I'm your host, Jessica Gershman, the Zen Mommy, and we're here to talk about surviving summer. I have this love-hate relationship with summer. Like, I love being able to turn the alarm off and having a more relaxed schedule. I hate the fighting, the bickering, the I'm bored, the running, and really the planning of camps that has to start in like January to get kids even set up for camp anymore. It's like an entire spreadsheet experience. So if the sound of summer is giving you that little twinge of anxiety, my next guest is for you. Irene Heidelberg is the founder of Get It Together Mom, a nationally renowned parent coaching and advice company that empowers mom to feel in control in this totally out of control experience we call parenting. And summer is a prime example of that. Get Mom is the only coaching company in the country focusing on mom's happiness rather than their kids. Get Mom uses a fail-proof 7-step system with its clients to create a harmonious home because happy, confident, independent moms raise well-adjusted, self-assured, and happy kids. If you need tips on how to survive summer from the Get Mom expert herself, this episode is for you. Stay tuned. Irene can be found everywhere from the Huffington Post to the Today Show as an expert on hot button parenting issues. She is here today to help us survive summer. Welcome to the show, Irene.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's talk about you. Introduce yourself. How many kiddos do you have?
Well, hi guys. Irene Heidelberger. I'm the Get Mom. I have three boys. They range from 5th grade through a freshman in college. I'm married to a pretty solid parenting partner. His name's Brian. I have trained him well. We are a really fine-tuned machine. We're actually going to celebrate our 20th anniversary coming up. I'm going to run in Paris a half marathon with my best friend, and the whole family is going to enjoy this. And even my college guy is going to come for 48 hours to Paris. Mommy is not going to run ever again. After I survived the treadmill, we have a pandemic doggy. His name is Bear. And that came about April 2020. Brian was like, we should get a dog. And because I'm a doer and a planner, voila, 8 months later, we have a 10-pound ball of fur, Cavapoo. All of our boys were born in the city of Chicago, and Bear was trained in the city of Chicago. It was just like kismet that he joined us. And we moved our family from Chicago to a ski town in Vermont 4 years ago. And it's quite quaint and safe and friendly and just like beautiful.
From a parenting aspect, if you're in a place that you really love and the kids have this freedom and access to go outside and you're not worried about them all the time and they're not in a big city, and that helps. That definitely helps.
Oh my gosh. So the boys, they're definitely going to be on their therapist's couch over this move. Cole, who's 19, what child wants to start their 9th grade in a brand new community? But what they have learned, now they have friends in 2 states. And my 5th grader, he can just leave school when it lets out and they walk around town and there's no questions asked. Like, it's so safe. For example, we don't have a pharmacy. We don't even have a stoplight. It is the epitome of safe and secure. It's like a Hallmark little hamlet.
Irene, it sounds dreamy. And I think we take that aspect for granted. And I've done some podcasts on the stress that teenagers are facing and the stress that our kiddos are facing. And we forget this whole piece where their safety is rocked, where they're having to do all of these active shooter drills, where they're hearing all of these school shootings and mass shootings all the time. And so we forget this little piece of safety and security that's kind of gone to the wayside for a lot of America.
For most of America, and no joke, we don't lock anything. You leave your car at the airport, it's open. UPS comes, UPS walks in the door to kindly and gently place your item on your table.
Do you have a milkman? Because I'm dreaming of the 1950s and 60s when things were so much more simple and inviting. You know, every decade had its own issues. So have you always been the get it together mom? Have you always had your shit together?
No. Let me tell you something. I was a hot mess. My mother was a hotter mess. And as I was just kind of like marinating on how this all came to be, I think it was purely because I didn't have my own mom cheerleader and someone who wasn't spiteful and mean. She was a situation. I guess I look back at my childhood. She made me have the balls to be a badass on my own. And so as I was a first-time mom, I was a stay-at-home mom, I thought, I have to do it all. I have to be it all. I'm going to be an awesome stay-at-home mom. I'm going to be an amazing housekeeper, cook, laundress, do all the things. And it didn't go well. As the months were piling on, my anxiety was building. We were in the city. We were on the river. The bridge would go up to let the boats go by. It was a two-bedroom loft. It was 100 years old. So we had these brick walls and all the brick was like these little pieces. And they would go crumbling anytime like a semi-truck would go barreling down the bridge. All my anxiety ended up in like constant swiffering and dusting. I couldn't rest unless everything was pristine in its place. I couldn't go to bed if the dishes were still in the sink. It wasn't going well. And this went for 2 years, even though
I had— Did you grow up in a messy household?
Yes. My mom, I couldn't even sit in her car. There would just be piles of things. And you know, the stairs, there'd be piles of things, like allegedly someone would take them upstairs. But my parents divorced when I was two and my dad lived an hour away. He would meet us at my grandmother's house, who was, little did I know, a Git mom. There was breakfast with the Today Show. It smelled clean. Everything was in its place. And so I was living in this dichotomy of a mother who would be on the sidewalk screaming at me as I went to school or would slam the door so hard that the glass would shatter. But then I knew there's another way because I would spend quite a bit of time at my grandparents' house with this matriarch. There was Meatloaf Mondays. It was very scheduled. And without my knowing as I was raising Coley, it must have been in my head, okay, I grew up in chaos, but I had a refuge with my grandparents and I was raising him with anxiety. I was doing it all. I would have a babysitter for a few hours on Fridays. Not enough, but better than nothing. And it was when he was two, we were just like rushing. We're running errands. I mean, he wasn't rushing. He was just hanging. I was in the grocery store parking lot, getting the carts put away and him in the car seat. And I looked around and I just didn't like that feeling in my gut, the angst. And I thought to myself, there's got to be a better way. This is insanity. That evening when Brian came home, you know, he'd get home around 6:30 and he would do the bedtime routine with Cole. And I'm all about that 30-minute bedtime routine and get in bed at 7 p.m. and sleep about 12 hours. And I said to him, probably at like 7:05, I got to get off the merry-go-round. And he's like, I think you need a therapist. And I said, help me. And he found Dr. Monica, who I'm still with 16 years later. And she like changed it. I don't know what it is about therapy. I'm just the hugest advocate of do whatever it is to fix your life. Literally a turning point. She was like, what's going to happen if you go to bed with dishes in the sink? And I was like, nothing. And she's like, why don't you try it? She like literally changed my life. So no, I haven't always been that together.
So I was raised by a single mom and there were three kids at home and I was the oldest of the three and she just never had it together, right? It was always one hair shy of a major meltdown and crisis. Doing the best she could with the resources she had at the time, you know, the house was always messy. I never wanted to have friends over. We were always just—
Right, you're embarrassed. Sure.
Yeah, and it was one of those like, I know she did the best and not being a single parent sitting here today, it is such a challenge. And not having the support of another adult and managing three kids. I recognize how hard it was. It was also just very dysfunctional. I mean, I kind of raised myself. And so there was a lot of good examples of like, I don't want to be a single parent. That was so hard. That was so hard for her. And anything I can do to avoid that for me personally, I saw the challenges she went through. And then also being able to be emotionally available for my mom when she was just managing just the primary resources. You know, she wasn't emotionally available. We were working on food, shelter, security. There wasn't a lot left over. And so sometimes it's that example of what not to be. And then fast forward, the beautiful part of a therapist is like they get to become your mirror and start challenging your stories, whatever those are, whether it's like, I have to go to bed with the dishes dishes clean, or, you know, I have to get on my hands and knees and swift the corners of the floor because I can see dirt there and I'm crazy like that. So I share that with you. Getting it together is a process. And it is nice to have someone along the way to encourage you, to challenge your belief system, to offer suggestions or a different way that maybe we're not coming up with because, you know, we live with ourselves every day and we can't always see.
I know, it's just helpful to have someone to get you out of your head and get off the merry-go-round and fix it. And like you said, challenge yourself.
So Dr. Monica was this kind of aha relationship.
Yes.
For you. And then at what point were you like, oh, wait a minute, I have gotten it together and I want to share it with other moms.
So what was going on, even though I was an anxious hot mess in my gut, I had sleep trained Cole at 9 months. He was on a 2-nap schedule. I gratefully had a village of like-minded mommies. We would go to the movies. We would go to lunch. At 9 months old, he would sleep from 9 to 11 and then 2 to 4. So at 1:30, I would pop up from lunch. I think we were at like the Cheesecake Factory. That was like our every Tuesday. And I was like, we got to rock and roll. We got to go. Everyone's like, what's going on? Where are you going? I'm like, well, Cole's going to nap from 2 to 4 and I'm going to watch The View. And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, yes, this happens 7 days a week. And it went from there. Like, what? I want to know the secrets. I too want to watch The View or work out or take a nap or do work or go to the gym. How can I have this lifestyle? So I just started casually telling them like how to sleep train or how to get on a schedule or how to tell your partner, dude, you're not a babysitter. Get off the couch and do the bath. So that was kind of the unofficial beginning of Get Mom, which went on for 9 years. And then it was really my last like free client who had kind of a wreck of a 4-year-old, and he would get up, you know, 3, 4, 5 a.m. and they would serve his needs and they would go walking around the streets of Chicago and whatever he wanted is what he got and received. And they were pregnant with their second child. And she said, I can't do this again. Can you help me? And I was pregnant with our third son, Wells, and we were building a house in the city, which is a whole nother situation. And I was like, I cannot help you unless you promise you will do exactly what I say. Because for years, I'm watching this, like, who the heck is walking the streets of Chicago in the middle of the night with a child? And she listened. And within 4 months, the daughter was on a 4-nap schedule, sleeping through the night. And she said, this is so easy. I wish I'd known you before. Like, you need a business. And I said, you know, I've been thinking about this. She's like, we're doing it. I had never been on social media before. I didn't even have Facebook. I'm the most private, introverted person. I love my anonymity. And she's like, nope, it's over. You need a business. And so that's really how Get Mom came to be. And now it's 10 years old.
And the beautiful thing as moms is like when we have a secret or when we've overcome something or figured it out, there is this kind of unspoken responsibility of like, hey, if you've gone through something in life and you've made it out relatively unscathed, share those secrets with the world.
Yeah,
like other people
totally
are in your position. We as women have this beautiful common thread of motherhood, and it's a shared experience that regardless of what age your children are, whether they're infants or they're in college and they're out of the house, like we can look at one another and be like, yeah, I've been there. Good for you for like making something out of it and sharing it with other moms, because
thanks,
we've all been in those experiences.
So much of what I do is just working with moms just like me. We're nervous wrecks. We're anxious. We're doubting every decision, every parenting move. And social media is just clobbering our heads because we're seeing everyone living their best lives. We think we should be living up to what the Joneses are or the neighbors across the street. And I'm just here to say, this is your life. Let's have a really fucking good time. Let's live boldly. Let's live hard. This is your family. No one knows your family. No one knows what's going on in your four walls. And who cares? This is your life. So let's not waste it. Because my mom wasn't there for me, I wanted to be a cheerleader for other moms. I don't care about your kid. You know what? I probably think your kid's ugly or your kid sucks.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
No, truth. I'm with you. I mean, you know, I only really like my own kids, and that's just
right, and barely, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. No, totally just sometimes. Yeah. Right. I'm not pro kid. I am pro you, mom. I am here for you, and I'm here to give you the balls to fix whatever isn't going well in your family.
We are the source of our happiness or unhappiness. I don't know how many times I've interviewed women, from physicians to therapists to, you know, moms with businesses to sleep trainers to experts in their field. And it comes down to this like idea that we can't seem to get it together that we can only save ourselves. We keep looking to the outside. Oh, well, when my husband does this, or oh, when my kid reaches this milestone, or, you know, they're just too young to sleep train, or it's just a phase and I'm not really going to intervene, even though all the while I'm miserable. But the reality is, in all of that, we are in charge of our own happiness or unhappiness. It can only be about us, and we are the only ones that can fix it.
You got it. And I just say, like, be here right now.
The gift of the present, right? Everything else is suffering. I'm going to say it all the time. But you have this incredible book, Get It Together, Mom. I've got a copy. I love it. It is one of those where it's funny. I love that it's funny because it's so true and raw, but there's no room for inference. You are saying it like it is. It's very plain and simple. It's very well thought out. It's like, here's step 1, 2, and 3. This is your problem. This is the solution. Let's get it together. And you have this entire section on surviving summer. Right. And summer can be an anxious time. There's so much scheduling or not. If you have not gotten it together and maybe it's January and you're not prepared for the summer before, camps are like already selling out. I was like finding summer camp for my daughter and they're like, well, I'm sorry, it's sold out. You're on a wait list. I'm like, it's February.
What?
Like, she's not even going to go until July. So I did not have it together. What are your top 3 tips for surviving summer? How can we come out of summer and still be happy and balanced and nurturing ourselves as mothers?
Well, number one, you have to demand balance for yourself. You cannot expect your partner or your parents or your village to be mind readers and think that just because you're breezing through life that everything is A-okay. You can't be camp mommy. It's not going to go well. Not for 13 weeks. Like, this is a really long time. And humans are not meant to be together 24/7. It just becomes overwhelming. So I'm all about speaking up, advocating for yourself, and making a plan. Even if the plan is in 5 days, I know that all the kids are going to camp, or they're going to grandma's, or they're going to my best friend's house for a babysitting swap so that I get to go on mommy island and do whatever it is that I want to fucking do. And I don't care what it is. If you want to Swiffer all day because that turns you on, you do that. But if you want to just sit and binge Bravo and the Housewives and watch everyone scream at themselves because that's going to light you up, then that's what you're going to do. But I think it's just so important to advocate and have a plan because we can't do it all. And if you're doing it all and you're not screaming or you're not having anxiety, then you're on the right path. But let me tell you, a study shows that 70% of women mothers, they're unhappy. It doesn't mean they're unhappy all the time, but it means like they're really struggling. I'm the biggest advocate for babysitting swaps. You know what? It's free. I like unofficially started this when we lived in Chicago. Kids would go to bed at 7 p.m. My girlfriend would come over, sit on my couch. And this was back in the TiVo days, which I'm sure anyone who's listening, because we're dinosaurs, we had TiVo. Like, we did not have all
which was
these
new, right? TiVo was like,
I know, we're fancy.
Yeah.
So my girlfriend would come. I would pre-tape whatever she wanted on TiVo. She would sit on my couch from 7:15 to like 10 o'clock. And then I would repay the favor the following week. And that's like free babysitting. Get your kids to bed, have someone free come over and just warm their butts on your couch so that you can get out and get a life and go get buzzy, get drunk, go have a beautiful meal. Maybe you guys need a break from each other. So your partner goes and plays cards with the dudes and you go have happy hour with the girls. It's all about leaning on your village, speaking up. These camps are so expensive. And so we can't keep just forking out money. And then I'm all about, like I said, schedule. Get that schedule. Get your kids. They can get up. They can Swiffer. They can empty the dishwasher. Give them age-appropriate chores. Within my coaching practice, I always think of like, what lights your kid up? What turns them on? Moms and dads are like, well, isn't that a bribe? I say to them, well, when you go to your job, is your paycheck a bribe? Or does that make you want to show up and make some money? You know, you have family photos and you keep giving your kids Skittles or M&Ms because you just have to make the best use of that 1 hour. I'm pro that. And I'm pro anything that will give your child initiative to follow through on the task. And there's a huge difference between a bribe and like a kid's chores chart. What's going to give your child initiative and make them carry through. So you're not doing everything. This morning, my 15-year-old, he said, when is laundry? I need my pillowcases done. I texted back and I said, it's whenever you put that in the laundry machine, because his clean pillowcases are important to him. So find out whatever is important to your kid. Make your kid do the hard work, because summer is all about you too, mom. It's not just about you making three meals a day. And God knows, you know, the madness, right, that goes on in the kitchen. So it's just about boundaries for yourself, sticking up for yourself, and making your family pitch in. So you don't come out looking like an August, like a hot mess.
I think what I hear you saying is, number one, you're pro anything that's working for your family, right? Whatever going to be, that's going to benefit you. You know, reminder, you know your kids best, not afraid of a little bit of bribery. I love it. Yes, they are bribing us with a paycheck to go to work. If they didn't pay us, we probably wouldn't show up. Right. And the other thing I heard you say is recognizing that we are individuals, adults, women that have their own needs outside of the home, outside of children, outside of being a mom. You know, we have this entire identity that existed all of those years before we gave birth to this little person. And rediscovering that is just as important. Embracing that, nurturing the side of an individual, of a feminine, of your sensuality, of your playfulness, your funness, whether it's going out with girlfriends or taking time for yourself or, you know, hanging out with your husband or whatever, your spouse, your partner, that all of that is just as important to your own happiness. And when we neglect that piece of ourselves and we just lean into the mother side, something feels off.
Absolutely. And I always say, when I work with a new Get Mom, my job is to put the me in mommy. And I always ask, like, what do you miss about your pre-baby life? And there's not one thing. There's probably like 500 things. And so my job is to incorporate it all. How can we more effectively and efficiently parent to have more happy mommy time?
Yes. And it's up to us. Balance isn't going to just happen on its own. So what do you think about boredom? What's your opinion on it, especially as we go into summer? Because it seems like this thing that we are afraid of. We're like, oh God, we don't want our kids to be bored. That suffering, I believe, and I don't know if you feel the same way, like in boredom comes creativity. When your kids are bored and they can get unbored, that shows resiliency and creativity and self-startedness. I mean, what's your opinion on boredom?
Boredom is great. I wish I was bored, right? Boredom is more than okay when it comes to raising our children. And I think what has happened with the phones, going back to that Instagram, the pretty picture, everyone is living their best lives, and we have such fast access to technology. So we're seeing all these opportunities that our kids could be involved in. And then we feel less than. And so we keep signing them up. We keep Venmoing for more activities. But if we just take a step back, it goes back to, I'm living this quaint little community where the kids are able just to walk around and they're not on their phones. There isn't Wi-Fi on our main streets. It's kind of like Disney World, if anyone's been to Disney World, and Main Street USA, which is just such a blessing and so flipping cool. If mom and dad can just take a step back and stop overscheduling, take a beat for the family and be together and realize if you're bored, you're going to figure it out. It's going to help you have more curiosity, independence, and kids are able just to like manage their own brains, their own time, and come up with what they want to do. I don't want to be on my soapbox like, yeah, just make your kids be bored, because I get it. I don't want to hear my kid whining and complaining that they're bored. So it's like so important that we don't rescue our kid and throw them the device, especially at meals. That just makes my skin crawl. I always say to a client, how about have a busy box, have five things that is saved on the side that when your kid is just losing their mind and you want to finish your time on the treadmill, hey, go get that box. Or you pull it out of the closet like, hello, like this is something that's going to entertain my kids so I can get through the last 20 minutes of my run. I know it's so difficult. You want to just chuck them the iPad so that they're not bored, they're not complaining at you. But it's one of those things, if we send the message that, oh, you're bored, you're having a tough time, if we bail them out, then they will think that someone will always help them out of it and that it's a negative thing to be bored. So it's really up to us to foster this engagement for themselves. They have to figure it out. We're able to, hey, here's some ideas. please don't bail your kid out because you don't want to listen to the complaining.
And it makes a really unattractive adult at work that can't sit around and figure it out for themselves. I mean, we are raising
adults.
Yeah, you don't want the guy that's sitting at his desk and is bored and just can't figure it out and starts to complain.
Right, you want a self-starter. You want to have like confident initiators. We want to raise leaders. We don't want to have a follower. We don't have like a dud doll. And that's what happens when we're constantly giving them things to keep their minds full.
I remember deep in the pandemic, I was probably so sick of hearing I'm bored. And we were all together, obviously, so much for those 18 months or so. So I had the girls create kind of boredom buster charts. And we cut out cardboard boxes and they decorated them. And they listed 5 or 7 things. And they got to color the whole thing. And some of them was call a friend. And it was like do a puzzle or things that maybe they don't do all the time. But when I heard them say, I'm bored, I'm like, go to your chart, find something on there to do. I mean, this is something you created. So it's getting them to think about, okay, when I'm bored, what are the kind of things I want to do? You're putting the onus back on them. You're not having to satisfy them. You very easily can be like, go to the chart. This is on you. This is your responsibility. It was helpful to us. And I think I just recently threw those boredom charts away, but they got us through the pandemic. That's for sure.
Thank God.
So summer camp pros and cons. Obviously, we talked about financially con. They are so expensive. Sleepaway camps, are like an arm and a leg. I mean, I just signed my kids up and they're each going for a month. Of course, not at the same time because it never really works out that way. I think they have like a 2-week overlap.
Okay, that's good.
It is very expensive. But what are the pros? What are the cons in your opinion on biting the bullet and sending them to summer camp?
If you're a get mom and you're all about a schedule, summer camp is the holy grail of summer. It's going to help you keep it together. It's nice to have a slower start. Typically, the bus comes a little later than the school start. But it's really nice knowing that you can punch off of the mommy clock and the kids are going to be out of your face. And it's so great because they're exposed to new friends, new activities, sports. It's fun. It's silly. They're on the bus. They're with camp counselors who are really young. And that's kind of bizarre thinking that they're going to keep our children alive. Those are the pros. I love camp. I love everything that it offers. I'm all about it. I love the competition about it. The cons, and there are cons. You know what? It's gross. Like these kids come home and they are so smelly and they're so dirty. Even if they're not tweens, they're disgusting. And they're really not going to be clean until they go back to school in the fall. But what I love about the cons part, camp teaches resiliency because a lot of times kids float in who are like their best friends, you know, for 5 days and then they peel out. And that's like so sad, but it also teaches our children like, all right, you got to have that experience with Johnny. Johnny was like your best friend to the end until Friday at 3:30. The kids floating in and out, that's super cool. The competition part is amazing because you know what? You're not going to win every tug of war. You're not going to win every color war. So those are like really good things. Throwing our kids into the mix, typically they're not with their neighborhood buddies. They're not with their classmates who they go to school with 9 months of the year. So putting them in these uncomfortable situations is really important. I think like camp, there's like all these pros and cons that really end up being even the cons are pros.
I'd agree. There's day camps, obviously, and there's sleepaway camps. The interesting thing on sleepaway camps when I've sent both my girls is I was so excited to see the maturity that came out of that. How did they change? I mean, you don't see your children. Maybe it's a week, maybe it's a couple weeks, maybe it's a month. At the end of all that, they've really had to manage their own emotions, work on resiliency, deal with failures, deal with conflict. You know, there's always conflict in summer camp for, you know, some little girls or boys, you know, are fighting about something, but conflict resolution, which is a part of life, and you're not there to bail them out. Mm-hmm. And you see that they also have to overcome homesickness. Inevitably, you get the letters. I'll never forget. My one daughter was like, I need you to pick me up. She was at sleepaway camp. Pick me up at noon by the playground on Tuesday. Of course, I didn't get the letter until like Saturday. I was just beside myself. I was like, oh my gosh, was she really sitting at the playground at noon waiting for me to come get her? No, I'm sure she was not. But when you see them coming through that and they're out from under your wing, and I happen to be a pretty intense personality. I have 2 daughters. It's nice to see them grow and expand their wings outside of the confines of my schedule, the way I want to run the house, the kind of personality I have, and that they really get to spread their wings outside of my vision, my influence. I think the pros for that are that experience, the growth
growth that happens on the challenges. And even at day camp, like you said, going in and maybe not knowing anybody and having to make friends and showing up as their best self. And plus, who truly wants to entertain all day, three meals a day, you know, all of those. Yeah. I mean, there's a portion of that. Like, yes, I want to take you to the strawberry patch this summer, and Camp Mommy can be fun on occasion, but that's tough for the long haul.
No bueno.
No, definitely not. All right. The takeaways of planning, I think, is important. I think intentionality.
Oh, yeah.
You talk a lot in your book about creating mantras. What's a good summertime mantra for moms?
I know. I'm all about a mantra. And I really have a ticker tape in my brain pretty much every hour that I'm with the kids that's just flowing around depending upon what's going on. So maybe the young guy is trying to get his ski gear on or his shoes or finding his snacks. That ticker tape would be like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. But it's just in my head. Like, I still have a smile on my face. I'm still zen. The mantra is helping me not lose my mind and start screaming like, hurry up, what are you doing? So every time I work with a client, whenever we're doing anything difficult, I have them come up with a mantra. And it's just one of those things that serves them and feeds whatever angst is in their brain. And like with summer, I think, I'm sure many of you heard of this saying, like, we only have 18 summers. So let's lean in, let's laugh and make it count and have a great time. And definitely keep a balance so we're not burned out. It's like so quintessential. The days are long, the years are short. It's so true. So do whatever you can. Let's have a good time. We only have 18 summers. Let's live hard. Let's live boldly. Let's keep boundaries so we don't get burnt out.
18 summers really puts it in perspective. And then they're on your own. And mostly for those last few, they're working or, you know,
they're barely home.
Barely around. So less than that. Lean in, live boldly, have fun, set boundaries, honor yourself, nurture yourself, and you too will survive summer. This has been incredible. Get the book, Get It Together, Mom. Where can listeners find more about you? I know you're all over social, despite being a closeted introvert, which I am too. Where can they find you?
I would love for everyone to find me on Instagram at Get Mom, my website, getmom.com. To learn more about me, you can buy my book on Amazon. I'm just here to be your cheerleader. Let's have a good time and really enjoy being a mom.
And all the links are down below in the show notes. Listeners, thank you so much. Survive summer together. And until next time.